Did anyone notice what it smelled like when you came in here this morning? It smells like bread. It smells distractingly good. Kevin and I were talking, and I'm like, you know what would be cool is if we could have the smell of bread that maybe as the service is ending, you begin to catch a whiff. And Kevin just spearheaded this whole thing. Like, so all of the he made it all. But it's like distractingly good. And then it was just beautiful how Brian led us through communion and to eat the bread that we often have something that's great, but this was particularly good this morning. And so eating the bread, I'm like, wow, this is better than I expected. And then I looked and I had a second piece in my cup. I'm like, oh, there's more than I thought. And so this morning, I hope and I pray that as you come, that there would be a hunger that awakens not just for bread, but for Jesus. That as you encounter, that's the bread finishing baking right now. I don't know if you caught that beeping. That as you catch the aroma of Christ, may your soul's hunger awaken. As you encounter him, may you find that he is better than you thought. And as you continue to know him, may you discover that there's more than you ever expected. So that's our prayer, that's our hope this morning, that we are talking about Jesus for the next 7 weeks. Just Jesus, behold the man, see him as he is, not as we think he is, not as we hope he is, maybe not as we're afraid he is, but as he is. So before we dive in, I want to introduce myself a little bit. As Matthew Warnock said earlier, we want to make these next 7 weeks very open. So if you are new to Jesus, we're very glad you're here. If you have invited someone to come and be with you today, well done. It's hard to extend that invitation sometimes. And so we want to just kind of explain why we do what we do. So if you're new, this is for you. My name's John. I'm one of the pastors here. A little bit about me. I'm married to my wife, Emily, who's here, and we have one son, Ezra. I like to cycle. About 4 days a week, I will commute. And one of my favorite things in the whole world is to find a hole in the wall. This is not a good morning. A small restaurant that is easily overlooked. I love that. Finding one of those cheap, high-quality restaurants is one of my favorite things. So that's a little bit about me. So if I talk about cycling, if I talk about Ezra, if I talk about a new restaurant, you understand more about what I'm saying because you know more about who I am. And that's what we're doing with Jesus. Is in the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John is one of four accounts of Jesus' life we have in the Bible. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the vine, I'm the resurrection and the life. And so this is Jesus telling us who he is. And as we understand better what each of those things mean, we understand what he's talking about. We understand who he is and we understand what it means to know him. So for the next 7 weeks, we're talking about Jesus. So if you are new to Jesus, I hope this is interesting. I hope it answers some questions. I hope it brings up some good new questions. And maybe that you would even meet him. If you have friends that don't know Jesus, this is a great time to invite them. This is, if you have a life group, maybe a great time to invite people to the service and then to your life group to talk about the message afterwards. So, Jesus, invitation, experiencing the goodness of his grace, that's what we're doing over the next few weeks. Would you join me in prayer? Jesus, would you reveal yourself to us? Help us to see you as you are, not as we think you are, or hope you are, or are afraid you are. But Jesus, let us encounter you in all your goodness, helping us know that it's better than we expected, and there's more than we ever thought. We pray this in your name. Amen. So if you take a look at this next picture here, up on the slide, what event is happening right now? What do you think? Birthday. Great. Next picture. What event is happening here? Christmas. Yes, this is good. Next image. What event is happening here? Bread Day. we don't really have bread as part of a day in a lot of our culture, but yes, it's Passover. Brian talked a little bit about Passover. See, when we talk about birthday cake and candles, we're like, oh yeah, that's a birthday. Someone's getting older. There's going to be a celebration, a song, a party. When we talk about Christmas, we're like, okay, there's trees, there's different music, there's family gatherings, there's warm drinks. But when we see bread, not a lot comes to mind, perhaps. So when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, we think sandwich. But Jesus meant something much, much different. So today we are looking at how Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And we're going to go three layers deep on this, three layers like a cake, three layers like an onion. So if we go way back to Exodus 16, God's people, Israel, they were in slavery in Egypt, and it was difficult, and so they cried out to God. God saw their suffering, and he sent a man named Moses to deliver them. And so they were freed from their slavery, and then they're on the other side of the Red Sea, having been delivered from the army of the Egyptians, and they're standing there as slaves who are free for the first time, and it's this, now what, moment. Has anyone seen Finding Nemo? So the fish are in the dentist's office, and Darla's coming, and they're terrified, because Darla's doesn't take care of fish very well, so they're convinced they're all going to die. So they orchestrate this escape plan, so all of the fish make it out of the dentist's office, and they're in the bags, floating in the ocean, and they're like, now what? We're free, but what happens now? And as an aside, I cannot tell you the existential dread that this causes me. To be a fish in a bag on top of the ocean, they can't undo those bags. I just have to trust that they're okay. And I think there's a sequel, so I assume they're fine. But the Israelites are on the other side of the Red Sea, and they're kind of in a now what moment. You know, we're free, but what are we going to eat? And so God sends them bread from heaven called manna. And every day they would wake up and they would gather it, and it would be enough to eat, but if they kept any, it would spoil. So every day they kept gathering, every day they kept eating, and God fed his people in the desert. So that's one layer. Second layer, Brian mentioned this earlier, is that Jesus was teaching one day, and he's doing all of these miracles. He's unpacking life in the way that it's meant to be lived, and people are really excited. So over 5,000 people show up, and Jesus says to one of his apprentices, he says, hey, what do you want to do about this? I don't know, it would cost like $25,000 to feed these people. And Jesus is like, well, what do we have? And they find a couple of pieces of bread, a little bit of fish. Jesus prays, gives thanks, and feeds the whole 5,000. And so much so that there's enough left over. And before this happened, in John chapter 6, it says that it was around the time of the Passover. So the Passover is the time when the Jewish people remember the freedom from Egypt. They crossed the water, food in the wilderness. Jesus is here. He's with the people. They're kind of out in the country. He gives them food, bread, in the wilderness. And so it's the Passover, and it's the Passover time, and then Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Now the third layer. This is as far as we're going. It's like Inception, three deep. So our text today is from John chapter 6. If you want to open, there's Bibles in the pews. If you want to open them up, I didn't write it down. I think it's page 502. But otherwise, if you have a Bible app or your own Bible, we're looking at John chapter 6, verse 25. So John chapter 6, verse 25, it says this. When they, the people who had eaten the 5,000, or some of the 5,000 who had eaten the meal the day before, when they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So when we read from God's word, we often will just thank God for it. So I would say, this is the word of the Lord, and your response is, thanks be to God. So this is the word of the Lord. Yeah. So this is where we're looking today. John 6, chapter 6, verse 25 to 35. We're going to walk through it a little bit. It's funny, it opens up, and the people cross the lake, they find Jesus, and they're like, oh, when did you get here? And I don't know exactly what they're trying to pull. Like, I don't know if they're being like, oh, Jesus, like, do you come here too? Because they're very clearly looking for him. When they notice that Jesus crossed the lake, all of them hopped in every boat that was available, and they came across right away. And Jesus says, you're not looking for me for another lesson. You're not looking for me because you know who I am. You're looking for me because yesterday you ate until you were full. And so as Brian said, the people, they ate the bread, but they missed the miracle. They missed what was actually going on. And Jesus, the beautiful kindness of Jesus is they come looking for a fish sandwich. Hey, Jesus, do you got any more of that bread and fish? And Jesus doesn't turn them away saying, what a ridiculous thing to ask. See, the kindness of Jesus is that people who come to him and ask for bread, he's like, okay, I'm not going to turn you away, but I'm going to turn your attention to what really matters. And so he says, don't be working so hard for the fish sandwich. You guys crossed the lake looking for me just to get a little bit more bread. But actually, what you should be looking for is the stuff that lasts forever, the food that endures to eternal life. Do you ever see that picture online of the person who had the McDonald's burger that's like been preserved for years now and it's not decomposing? Yeah, this isn't that. The food that endures to eternal life. It's not food that will never, ever decompose. It's not a long shelf life. It's not even like in Willy Wonka, you know, the everlasting gobstopper, the one that you just eat forever. It's not food that lasts forever. But Jesus says that when you're physically hungry, physical food will give you physical life. But he's talking about a kind of spiritual hunger for which spiritual food will give you spiritual life. So Jesus is saying, make sure that you're paying attention not to the stuff that just is here today and gone tomorrow, but pay attention to the stuff that's going to give you life forever. Now, we read eternal life every once in a while in the Bible. We don't use that phrase a lot in kind of day-to-day life. And sometimes the image of the clouds and the angels and the harps distracts us, and we think, oh, that's eternal life. When I die, I'm going to play the harp in heaven. And it's like, maybe. I don't think that's all of it, if that's part of it, but it's much, much more than that. How many people have a cell phone here today? If you have your cell phone, just pull it out and take a look at it. You don't have to turn it on. The news is going to be the same. But if you can see your cell phone, now take a look at your cell phone. Cell phones are expensive. If you had your cell phone dropped in the middle of the ocean, how sad would you be? Like, kind of sad, pretty sad. Some of us would not be sad at all. But cell phones are expensive, but would we be absolutely devastated? How many of us would feel like we had lost absolutely everything that was on the phone? For most of us, we wouldn't, because it's backed up to our account. Our photos, our contact numbers, our documents. It's not on the phone. It's just the phone is how we get there. And eternal life is a little bit like that. That we have bodies that are valuable, we take care of them, but if I were dropped in the middle of the ocean, it would be sad. It would be sad, and there would be loss. But there's also the deeper truth that everything important is taken care of, that everything important is okay because my life isn't locked up in this body. My life has been hidden with Christ. And so in the same way that if I lose my phone, I can get another phone and everything important is okay. If this body dies, my life is hidden with Christ and I'm going to be okay. So that's a little part of it. The other part of it is Jesus is saying eternal life doesn't just happen after you die, but it's life the way that it's always meant to be lived and it starts now. It's like life goes from black and white to full color. It's like life goes from theory to practice. It's life, the way that our souls ache for it to be. It's life full of hope and joy and significance and forgiveness and meaning and peace. And Jesus says, life, the way that your soul aches for it to be, that's eternal life. So it starts now and it lasts into eternity, trusting the important parts of us, not to this body, but to God. and living into what God has always designed life to be. So we hear that and we ask the question, well, what do we need to get that kind of life? How do we, as the kids say, get that bread? And Jesus says, you believe in the one that God has sent. And you might look and you're like, to believe in the one he has sent, well, it doesn't seem like a lot. It doesn't seem complex. It doesn't also even seem all that clear. So what does that mean, to believe in the one he has sent? How is it that we get eternal life with that? Well, this is actually a really big point in the Gospel of John. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says that everyone who believes in Jesus would become children of God. And at the end of the Gospel, it says that this book, this Gospel of John, was written so that you would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you would have life in his name. So believing is how we get life, this eternal life, this lifeous life, this full-color kind of life. So believing means we change what we think and do. Now, you know me. I'm a cyclist. I cycle to work. And so on my way to come here to this building, I have to go through a traffic circle, which means that as I go through the traffic circle, I have to trust that nobody there is going to try and kill me. I have to trust that they're going to see the yield sign, they're going to see me and not think, I can beat them. But I don't trust that. I am convinced someone's going to get me one day. And so I don't trust the drivers in the traffic circle. I hedge, I hesitate, I check, I try and make eye contact. So if they get me, they got to remember me. And it's like, okay, if you're going to take me out, at least we know mutually that this is how it happened. I don't trust the drivers in the traffic circle. Moment by moment, I reevaluate my decision. But what Jesus invites us into is not a moment by moment, can I trust you now? Can I trust you now? How about now? Now are you going to have my well-being at heart? But a wholehearted trust, that we trust that we can go full speed and Jesus will do all that he said he will do, that he will be who he said he is, that he is good for every promise that he's made. So if we want to get that bread, we believe in Jesus. We lean into him. We change our lives as a result. But we might wonder, is Jesus actually trustworthy? If I'm going to trust a driver not to hit me, I'm putting a lot of stake in that decision. My life will change dramatically if I'm wrong. And so Jesus, is he worthy of trusting him with our security and our significance and our family and our well-being and our future and our eternity? Is he worth trusting to that level? Which is kind of like what the people ask him. They say, Jesus, how do we know we can trust you? In verse 30, they say, what kind of sign will you give? Which is incredibly ironic, because who is he talking to? The people who just ate the meal in the desert yesterday. And what are they wondering? Hey, Jesus, we know the story about how God, through Moses, gave people bread in the desert. Do you think you could do anything like that? And it says they gathered up basketfuls of leftover. And what I would love to imagine is that the people still had crumbs of the bread on their robes, and that Jesus is standing beside the baskets of the leftovers, and he's like, you're wondering. Here, let me just get that for you. You're wondering if I can do bread in the desert. And for me, if I was Jesus, I'd be really sarcastic in that moment. But Jesus is so gracious. It's kind of like this bread here. This is Cobb's bread, made fresh this morning. This is what we ate this morning for communion. Matthew Warnock picked it up. It was very kind of him. Great. But it would be like if I invited Matthew up this morning and said, Matthew, we're looking for someone who can pick up Cobb's bread and bring it here on a Sunday morning. What can you point to that shows us you're qualified? And you're like, dude, I already did it. You can see by what I did that I'm qualified to do what you're wondering if I can do. And so I think the irony is just incredible there. But Jesus, again, he is so gracious. He says to them, Moses, you will remember, didn't give them that bread. God did. Also, don't worry so much about bread. Worry about the bread of heaven. And the bread of heaven is that kind of bread that gives us the eternal, technicolor, lifiest life that there is. And so the people naturally say, give us this bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Nobody gasped. We were expecting that. We're like, yeah, of course, this is what the sermon was called. We could smell it when we came in. We could see it. This is like the 40th time you talked about it. We're not surprised. But imagine I said to you, I have found a new restaurant. It's a great, small, out-of-the-way restaurant. They've got incredible food, low prices, wonderful people, family-owned. It is the best spot ever for lunch. And you're like, great, where is this restaurant? And then I said, I am the restaurant. And you're like, oh, okay, that's different than I was expecting. That's kind of weird. And that's what Jesus would have sounded like to the people. He's like, hey, I've got bread. And they're like, great. He's like, this bread gives you eternal life. They're like, that's amazing. And they're like, where is this bread? He's like, I'm the bread. They're like, oh, I thought you meant bread. And they actually start to grumble. In verse 42, it says they start to grumble and they say, what's this guy talking about? We know this guy. Some of them were like, I grew up with this guy. We know his parents. He lived down the street from here. Jesus is talking in the town that he used to live. And they're like, we know this guy. What's he talking about? And in verse 66, it actually says that a lot of his apprentices turned away and didn't want to follow him anymore. So this is really tough, pardon the pun, for them to swallow. But Jesus actually brings it down to two things. He says that whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And two things to know. Whoever comes, whoever believes, it isn't a one-time thing that you come to Jesus one time, that you believe one time. It's like food. If I said to you, whoever eats food will never be hungry, and you're like, I don't know, I ate food last week and I'm pretty hungry now. You're like, okay, yeah, but you have to keep eating food. Whoever keeps eating food will not be hungry. And so if you're like, yeah, I came to Jesus like 27 years ago, but it was kind of like way back then. It's like, well, Jesus is saying it's not whoever came, it's whoever comes and keeps coming. Whoever believed and keeps believing. The Greek word here, the New Testament was written in Greek, but we translated it into English. It means to keep going, to keep doing the thing, that whoever keeps coming to me, whoever keeps believing me, will never be hungry. And the word actually for never in English is pretty strong, but in the Greek, it's never, ever, no matter what. Like, it double triples down. Like, never, ever, ever in a million billion years is kind of the idea. That whoever believes in Jesus and keeps believing will never, ever, ever be spiritually hungry. Will never, ever, ever in a million billion years be spiritually thirsty. See, this is Jesus' invitation to us. That when we come, when we believe, that we will never hunger, that we will never thirst. But this isn't physical hunger and physical thirst, but spiritual. Smelling the bread, is anyone, like, are you feeling hungry this morning? I can hardly handle it. This is way worse than I thought it was going to be because it's way better. But I'm almost distracted by how good it smells right now. Now, if that's the spiritual hunger, what is our soul hunger like? Have you ever felt soul hungry? And I think soul hungry, the way that I understand it is that your soul feels like life is supposed to be over here and your life is actually over here. And soul hunger is when you experience the difference between life as you imagined it and life as it is. And so for me, my soul gets hungry. It gets hungry for hope, for meaning, for peace, for love, for acceptance, for significance. Have you ever felt this soul hunger? This deep yearning, this deep ache, this deep desperation for something, anything to make up for the difference between life as it is and life as you'd hoped it would be. I think maybe my deepest soul hunger that I have is, am I enough? And so for me, my soul, it's not just hungry, but you know when you get hungry and then you're angry because of that, the whole hangry idea? Our soul gets hangry. See, my soul is so desperately hungry to know if I am enough that it goes out and every achievement is now 100% of my self-worth. Every glance that someone gives me is a way for me to evaluate my understanding of what are they thinking about me and how am I managing my reputation. See, my soul is so desperate to be enough that I wonder what you have and how does what you have compare to what I have and how do I make sure that I have enough? See, our souls are hungry, desperately hungry, and we ache to be be filled. Physical bread feeds our physical hunger. Spiritual bread of life is the spiritual bread that gives us the life as it was always meant to be. It fills the ache in our souls. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you felt that ache? Like when everything goes quiet, when you're lying at bed, and after we can't distract, we can't numb, we can't seek after anything else, and we just lie there weary and quiet and exhausted, and all we feel is this ache. See, that's what Jesus is talking about. That's what he's offering to fill, is that spiritual hunger. And so what does this all mean for us when we talk about Jesus being the bread of life? Well, it's entirely possible that we can come today, we can eat the bread, and we can completely miss the miracle. See, people back then are the same as people today. I think we just wear different clothes and speak different language. But we struggle with the same things. Has anyone here ever seen a miracle, an honest-to-goodness miracle? A few people. How many people have ever wanted to see a miracle? Yeah. How many people have maybe ever prayed the prayer, hey, Jesus, if you're real, would you this, that, or the other? And see, that's the kind of thing that the people were saying to Jesus. Hey, if we're going to trust you with all this, couldn't you do something amazing? Like, could you do something incredible and show us who you are? But I think sometimes we have actually experienced the greatness of Jesus, and maybe we've just missed it. I want to give three quick examples. A couple years ago, Emily and I and our Ezra, we were like technically homeless. We had sold our place, we had nowhere to live, and we were trying to figure out what was next, and we needed a place to live from June 7th through to the end of summer. And it's really hard to find a rental property from June 7th through to the end of summer. So we were looking around, we're like, I don't even know what we're going to do. Do we just have to Airbnb it for like 3 months? And then some friends called us. And they're like, hey, are you guys around? We're just wondering, we need someone to house sit for us. Would you be available from June 7th through to the end of summer? We're like, why, yes, we are. And so from June 7th till the end of summer, the exact day, to the day that we need it, we got to stay in this 5-bedroom home in Brookswood that backed into a ravine with a creek running at the back. And it was amazing. It was absolutely incredible. So that's one. Second, in the pandemic, Ezra, our son, he was missing his friends, as we all were. And he's like, I just miss my friends. He wasn't in school. He was stuck at home. And so we prayed, and we're like, Jesus, maybe there's a way that he can connect with one of his buddies from school. So I went for a bike ride, and I came to a road, and normally I would turn left on this road, but today I'm like, oh, whatever, I'll turn right. And I turned right, and about 45 seconds down the road is the dad of Ezra's best friend from school. And he's a landscaper, so he's outside working on a tree. And if I had turned left, I would have missed him, but I turned right, and in that moment, I was able to connect with the dad, and we were able to set up a way for our sons to connect. And it was this beautiful moment. Number three, I just want to do this. This church community, what has happened here? A couple years ago at Bethel, we prayed. And we read in John where it said that unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed, but if it dies, it will produce a harvest. And this is a million times more than I could have ever imagined. And I did not do this. And so for me, those are three ways that I've encountered the miraculous power of Jesus. And you might think, well, John, that's just coincidence. That's just people being nice. That's just what happens. And I think part of it is yes, the other part of it is no. Very much no. I think that the power of Jesus is so incredible that he works these miracles in our lives, and it can be so easy to miss them. And so I would ask you that if you were to look back over the past weeks and months and years, where are miracles that you may have missed, that Jesus is already showing you that he can be trusted? He's already showing you that he loves you. He's already showing you that he can take care of you. See, the people in Israel had a political need, and God saved them. The people in the wilderness, they had a physical need, and Jesus met it. We have the spiritual hunger, and Jesus offers to fill it. He can be trusted, and he may have already shown it to you. So might we have already missed the miracle? And if we've missed the miracle, we can sometimes pursue the wrong things. Just a little quick trivia game here. This is the part in the service where we have trivia. Bread shows up a lot in our language. So these are all bread-themed idioms. If you know the answer, just shout it out. What is a bread-themed idiom for earning money? Yeah, get that bread. I already used it. Who earns the money in a home? The breadwinner. What is a bread nickname for money? Dough. What is it called if you ask for more money? Begging. Yeah. Yes. Well, what do we do with bread? A raise. Yes. What is your most... That's a stretch, I know. What is your most basic source of income? The simplest part. The most foundational. It's two things. Come on, guys. It's your bread and butter. No. Yeah. See, bread in our culture means money. And maybe we come to Jesus hoping for more money, thinking that if we can get that bread, then we'll be okay. But Jesus didn't turn the people away looking for the sandwich. If we are here this morning looking for more money from Jesus, he doesn't turn us away. He just turns our attention. You know the scene in The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy and Toto and the Tin Man and the lion are there, and there's this, the fire and all the loudness, and then Toto the dog pulls the curtain, and the guy back there, what does he say? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I think Jesus says the exact opposite. See, there's this beautiful miracle of the 5,000, and if you peel back the curtain, Jesus is behind it, and he says, hey, pay more attention to the man behind the curtain. Pay more attention here, that all of this other stuff is one thing, but that what Jesus is doing is actually much, much more significant. So maybe we come wanting from Jesus a relationship. Maybe we want a promotion. Maybe we want to become someone more amazing than we feel like we are. And maybe we feel like if Jesus will just give us that, that we'll be okay. See, all of that is food that spoils. And Jesus offers us something much more. So maybe you're here today and you're not here for Jesus. Maybe someone invited you and you think they're cute. Maybe you want to make business connections. Maybe you're here because this is what your family expects of you and you just want to keep the peace. But I'd like to say I don't think that there's an accident that you're here. See, our souls stay hungry until we find the food that can feed them. And this food is found in Christ. And so if you're here this morning, I hope that for whatever reason, whatever it was that brought you here, that what you would actually encounter is Jesus saying, hey, pay more attention to the man behind the curtain. What I'm offering will feed your soul. This past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and we had an Ash Wednesday service here. It was beautiful. And there's part of the thing that we read, and it says, without first acknowledging our mortality, we would never seek eternal life. Without first acknowledging our sinfulness, we would never seek a Savior. See, it's when we encounter our hunger that we will actually seek the food. And so Jesus, he invites us to trust him. He invites us to live our lives like he's going to do everything that he has promised. And I'm really struggling with this. I have to be very, very honest. We just finished a series on politics. How many people were here for the politics series? Okay, I am doing way worse with politics now than I was at the beginning. I was one of the people saying, hey, we got to trust God. And I would go home and I was so mad at politics. I am struggling so bad. There's this whole part of me that I didn't even know existed that I'm having to bring to Jesus and say, I don't know what to do about this. I am really trusting, really struggling to trust that Jesus is Lord, that he is going to take care of things even in this political climate. I am really struggling. But what I want to do is I want to believe Jesus. I want to move my faith and my hope, not into the government, but into who Jesus is. And for you, what would it look like for you to anchor your deepest hunger on Jesus? Is it that you'll be okay? That you'll have enough? That we'll make it through? That you can be loved? And whatever that looks like, I would just, like Jesus, invite you to pay more attention to the man behind the curtain, to come get that bread, to experience from Jesus the grace that he offers us. And so what does this look like for us? Well, Augustine said that in his prayer, he said that you, speaking to God, have made us and drawn us to yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you, so that we would find rest in Jesus. So what does this look like? Well, on Wednesday, we started a season of Lent, and Lent is something that has happened around the world from believers for centuries, where we give up something that's part of our life, something that maybe calls us to a fruitless pursuit, maybe the rat race or the corporate ladder or social circus. And as we give up something, we spend that time and energy pursuing God. So maybe for the next 40 days, the encouragement for you is to stop pursuing food that spoils and to seek that eternal life, that bread of life. For me, I have given up a few things that were much harder than I thought they were going to be. But I am encountering a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. Maybe for you, it's an understanding that bread is daily bread. As Tasha prayed earlier today, that the bread that Jesus gives is fresh each day. We can only eat each meal each day today. But I want to have tomorrow's food too. But Jesus says that he will be our daily bread today and have enough for tomorrow as well. So maybe for you, it's finding a place of recognizing what you already have, of recognizing a desperate need. Maybe it's a place of connecting with Jesus. If you don't read the Bible each day, maybe start with one verse. If you don't spend time with Jesus, maybe start with one minute. Just find a place to connect with Jesus each day. And finally, believing. Are we trusting Jesus to do what he says we'll do? When Jesus fed the 5,000, he showed that it didn't matter where you are, what you have, or what you need, that Jesus is enough. And so for us, what would it look like to lean into that promise a little more right now? I want to invite you for prayer as well. We have a prayer team here and in the back. If you would like to meet Jesus, if you have a question, if you are struggling with the difference between the life you're living and the life you thought you would, we would love to just pray with you. And so we'll invite you for prayer. But otherwise, would you please stand? And the worship team is going to lead us in a couple of songs.